Good morning. Exactly 50 years ago, the seminarians of Holy Name Seminary played that tune as Prairie people came to Prairie's very first service on September 17th, 1967. I love the synchronicity of that, but this is a Sunday again. Some of you will remember that Holy Name Seminary was west of the Beltline. I think it's apartments or something now. West of the Beltline off Mineral Point Road. Prairie met at this Catholic seminary for a year before 2 years. We have dissension on the history committee. 2 years before moving to the YWCA on the square. Welcome to the party. Today we celebrate exactly 50 years of Prairie's being in existence, so happy birthday to Prairie. I am Sandy Ingham, and I serve this Prairie congregation as its part-time consulting minister. Here are some of the words with which we begin our Sunday mornings together. Welcome. Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society strives to be an open-minded and open-hearted, welcoming congregation, and has been doing so for 50 years. Whoever you are, wherever you are on your life's journey, whatever your beliefs about what really matters are, and no matter what decade you come from, we welcome you. You are welcome here, regardless of your sexual orientation or your gender identification. You are welcome, whatever your abilities or disabilities, wherever you are on the belief, religious, faith spectrum, we welcome you. If this is your first time here, whether you are just passing through or if you are checking us out hoping to find a possible community to join, we don't want you to get lost in this morning's shuffle. This is not a usual Sunday service. There will be a time later on in the service, if you're brave enough, for you to introduce yourself. And we also encourage you to come be with us on other Sundays, because our services can be quite different from week to week. Sometimes I do the service, sometimes lay leaders from within the congregation do the service, and sometimes people from outside the congregation do the service. But not to worry, don't be discouraged by the seeming lack of seats. You are welcome here. Now, there is a potluck afterwards. There are history displays on both floors in this building and over next door in the annex, which is now our annex. There will be guided tours of both buildings and the grounds, we hope, weather permitting. And be sure to look at the displays on the table in the lobby that are related to the history book, and to indicate on the sign-up sheet if you're interested in a color copy of the history book or a black and white copy. And that history book will come out in a few months. The opening words are found in two places, in the front of the hymn book, but also on your order of service. So hymn books might be a little scarce. And leading us in our Bond of Union opening words is our current president of the board, Gary Gates. The Bond of Union was finalized in 1974 and has not changed since then. Gary?
If you have trouble finding the hymn, look under the chairs in front of you. We, the members, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Together, we would expand our intellectual horizons, enrich our sensory experiences, and deepen our emotional sensitivities. We would sharpen our ethical awareness and broaden our sense of social responsibility. We would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life
yet not at others' expense. As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky, let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world and one another.
The chalice lighting words will be read by our Vice President of the Board, Andy Garst. These words are from Reverend Max Gabler's sermon at the dedication of this building on May 4th, 1980. Andy, I will light the...
You'll be the lighter?
I will be the lighter, yes. Pleased to be your lighter.
Welcome. As she said, these are the words of Max Gabler during the sermon dedicating this building. In a unique and special sense, a church is, or should be, a community of memory and of hope. A community that recognizes not only those individuals who happen to comprise its membership at any given moment, but that counts as well the procession of remembered faces of those who have for many years, or for a few, been a part of its company. And that is always sensitive as well to those who, in time to come, will inherit the concern and the devotion and the substance that we in our time pass on. Out of the collective memory of the group, a memory that stretches back beyond its own particular beginning, and out of the shared hopes for the group, out of these things emerges that sense of linkage with an ongoing venture, that awareness of rootage, which can endure so long as there are people who, in the words of your bond of union, affirm their future are inseparably bound together, and our purpose to stand tall in the quest for integrity of life.
Thank you. I'm going to do a very brief something that is not in the order of service, and they won't want me to do this, but without these four people who have worked on the history committee and put in an unbelievable number of hours, it's a good thing we're not paying them, we'd have to mortgage both buildings. To make this happen, this entire celebration, we wouldn't have gotten to this point without them. So yes, you need to stand up, and I'm going to do it alphabetically. Ruth Colton, please stand. Stay up. Rosemary Dorney. And Mary Mullen. Last but not least, our music director, Barb Park. So there. For 50 years, it has been up to you, to whomever is part of the current Prairie congregation. It has been up to you to make that bond of union that we read at the beginning of the service real. That has meant taking all those wonderful words in the bond of union and in our songs and our principles and purposes, taking all those wonderful but abstract ideas, visions, hopes, dreams of all those folks who in 1967 set out to create another place in Madison besides First Unitarian Society, another free-thinking, robust, warm community of faith, taking all of that and making it work, and then adding the roots from both Unitarianism and Universalism. Roots hold us close, and spreading your wings, set us free to find a new way to be in community and to make a difference in the world. One more ingredient went into this mix of creating and sustaining Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I know this one will surprise you. Many, many different personalities. A bunch of free thinkers, free spirits, dare I say eccentrics, questioning people, heretics, one and all. Remember, the root of the word heresy is to take, to choose. It is not easy to bring so many diverse points of view together. It is not easy to find a balance between old ways and new ways. It is not easy to build an infrastructure that values all kinds of ministry. Yet, here we are. You have taken the murkiness and the vagueness and created a concrete, real-life space, all the while remembering to respect each other. So now, the atheist, the agnostic, the humanist, the Wiccan, the pagan, the Buddhist, the Jew, the Christian, the really not sure, the don't particularly care believers and non-believers sit side by side on Sunday mornings here in this special sacred place. And you, all of you, have done it. Each one of you and all those countless others who have passed through or are still a part of this prairie community. You have created a viable, very much still alive community with love, for it's love that is the spirit of this church. Words we'll sing at the end of the service. So good for you, and congratulations. Five prairie folks from the five decades are now, are now going to tell us more about how we got to this day, September 17th, 2017. But we'll be doing the same thing, and you can give the color code for them when you're done with your decade.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello. Marty Drapkin. So the decade between 1977 and 1987 was a memorable one in the world, as well as it here at Prairie. In 1977, we had the New York City blackout, which lasted 25 hours, a lot of looting. Carnegie's Deli on Broadway unfortunately lost 250 pounds of corned beef due to not being able to refrigerate it. So it was a sad time. At that time, Prairie was still at Portal Foster, as Eileen had mentioned. It was a difficult time. Prairie President Charles Davidson resigned over a disagreement over where to place newspaper ads during the Capital Times newspaper strike. Some of you may remember that. It was a difficult time in Madison and in Prairie, and he was replaced by Henry Pratt. So apparently Mr. Davidson was on the wrong side of the question, whose side are you on? Which side are you on? In 1978, we had the Camp David Accords involving President Carter, Menachem Begin, and Anwar Sadat. High hopes. 3 Mile Island nuclear accident, which was our most serious such accident in history in Pennsylvania, Dauphine County, Pennsylvania. The Iran hostage crisis began, and oil and gas prices increased, and for the first time ever, the cost of a gallon of gas went over $1. Those were the days, huh?
Yeah.
In September of that year, 78, Prairie moved to Woodland Montessori on Colby Street, and stayed there until 1980. And my memory of that is that that was kind of a crowded facility, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. They had all their stuff there too.
Yeah, so it was a little bit crowded, but we stayed there until 1980. In 1979, we explored buying a place called the Trading Post on Nakoma Road, but lost out when the neighbors indicated that they preferred an insurance company to be in that location rather than a church. Remember that? So apparently their feeling was God is great, but a claims adjuster is greater. In 1980, the U.S. boycotted the Summer Olympics in Moscow to protest the 1979 invasion of Afghanistan. They felt that a foreign power going into Afghanistan was a bad idea. Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington, state of Washington, killing 57 people. President Carter's brother Billy, who was at that time involved in an influence peddling scandal of his own and felt put upon, said, "I suppose they're going to blame me for that Mount St. Helens thing too." He actually said that. Prairie, in that year, purchased this building and moved here from Colby Street, purchased it in January, and as Sandy indicated, the building was dedicated on May 4th? May 4th, it was in May, of 1980, and as she said, Max Gabler from First Society gave the main address called The Need for Roots, a good thing. George and Ruth Calden, during that year, led a week of couples enrichment with disco dancing at UU Camp Unistar in Minnesota. You remember that? Yeah. That was good. 1981, in the world, Sandra Day O'Connor became the first woman on the Supreme Court. Ronald Reagan became president. When asked what his first action as president would be, he said, "Well, I believe I'll take a nap." And Eileen became president, or was president from 1980 to 1981, and a lovely woman named Pat Cautley was the RE director, right, for that year, and I think she was RE.
Okay. Whatever Mary says.
In 1982, the Ethnic Connection, many of you remember that, was formed. And I didn't know this, but it was apparently originally called the Ethnic Impurities.
Yes.
Ethnic Impurities, with George and Ruth Calden, Dolita Chaprue, and Lee Burkholder. And you played recorder, right? What did Lee play?
Auto harp.
Lee Burkholder played auto harp. In September was the first publication of the Prairie Kitchen Companion, originally printed by Lee and Alice Bullen, two very wonderful Prairie members, and I saw that copies of the latest edition of it are out there, right? So that's a wonderful thing, and my favorite chapter is the one on soup and stews. In 1983, the United States invaded Grenada. Am I saying that right? Grenada? Grenada, which is a Caribbean island in the Lesser Antilles, known as the Isle of Spices. I don't remember what that war was about. It was probably to make the world safer democracy, but whatever. I myself was president in 1982 and 1983. My presidency was generally referred to as a caretaker presidency with few, if any, notable achievements, but I tried. Mike Briggs became president in 1984, first of his two terms, and quickly resumed the tradition of capable Prairie executives. Although there was some grumbling, he was the first English, first president born in England, and there was some grumbling when he insisted that we start each service by everybody standing and singing "God Save the Queen." And in that year, also saw the first Nifty Gifty project by the RE program, and also the first Prairie service auction, which raised $890. So that was not bad. In 1984, Reagan was reelected, defeating Walter Mondale, again celebrated his victory with a nap. The national drug problem intensified as the crack was became a big problem in the Los Angeles area. Mike Briggs served a second term. And there were some wonderful lame ministries there. One was that I remember quite well was David McKee and Rick Recking did a lay ministry on men's issues. Remember that?
Yes.
My notes say that it was somewhat divisive, but I don't have a memory of that, and I don't know if that's an accurate statement. Is it?
Not the lay ministry, but the era of the men's groups were divisive, yeah.
Okay.
So read the just, history that's
I'll
coming
get
out.
Oh, okay. Just to clarify that. 1985, professional wrestling became a mainstream cultural phenomenon. Hulk Hogan became a cultural icon, and Rick began serving the first of his two terms, another era of competency in Prairie history. At that time, average Prairie attendance reached a high of 90 people in April of that year. Although, according to the notes that Murray provided, there was some uncertainty whether that included the children or not. So, is that correct, Murray? Yeah. Right. Okay. In 1986, the terrible Space Challenger accident happened in the world. Seven people died, including a wonderful school teacher named Christina McAuliffe. Fox Broadcasting Company was launched, a notable achievement. And at Prairie, there was a program on spirituality and sports. Spirituality and sports. And the specific sports that were featured were baseball, running, Scottish dancing, and martial arts in India. That's it. You remember that? And two beloved Prairie members, Les Lyons and Lois Hagstrom, passed away that year. That was sad. 1987, in the world, there were assorted scandals involving popular televangelists. Some of you may remember this. Jim Baker, two K's. Jimmy Swaggart, Oral Roberts. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Jimmy Swaggart was known, you may remember, for his ability to cry on cue. But he said he was very sorry, asked for God's forgiveness, expressed the hope that his congregants would also forgive him and send him more money. Yeah. President Reagan, during a visit to Berlin, urged Soviet Premier Gorbachev to tear down this wall. And according to his telling of it, Mikhail responded by saying, okay, we'll do it. At that time, Allison McKee was Prairie RE director, and Dick Bonser, whom we remember very fondly, was the newsletter editor and served very capably in that capacity until 1992, I believe it was. At that time, Prairie membership was 146 people. Eileen talked about the great tradition of music here at Prairie, and in addition to the musical groups that she mentioned, I was also involved in two. One was the Prairie Unitarian Kazoo Ensemble, and the other one was the Prairie Bad Singers. I think you remember that, right, Rick? Prairie, Gerald Veraldi, myself, several others, and the criteria for membership was that you could not carry a tune.
Glenn Chambliss,
yeah.
Rick, Glenn, and Gerald.
So. That's right, and several others. Yeah. Aaron, were you?
I believe so. Yeah,
the other thing, Prairie supported making Martin Luther King Day a school holiday in that year, so that was a good thing. So those were some of the highlights of that decade, and so I would now ask everybody who joined Prairie in that decade, mid-1977 to mid-1988, wearing a green button, including yourself, to stand. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, I won't be as funny, but I'll be faster. So I joined during the next decade from 1987 to 97, but not till almost the end of that decade. So I don't have so many personal recollections of this decade, but I'll say it was relatively placid. As far as I can tell, only one really major conflict, which I'll get to. Over that 10 years, we had five presidents, three of whom are still members, Mary Mullen, Rick Recking, and briefly Barb Park. And also longtime member Julie Bonser was president when I came, and I was saying she had moved out west, but now here she is visiting us today. And then Jack Jollings, who has since passed away, was also president during that time. We had three directors of religious education, Allison McKee, who was DRE when you finished your decade, and then John Brian Paprock, who some of you may remember, referred to himself as an Orthodox minister. I'm not sure if he was actually ordained, but that's how he thought of himself. And our winner of the Tenacity Award for Religious Education is Ann Pryor, who I wish was here today to hear it, who served for 7 years as our DRE. We had many wonderful lay ministry series during that time, and some of these I thought, oh, I wish I had joined sooner so I could have heard them. Judy Skog, Unplug the Christmas Machine, The Web of Life by Michael Sheehy, which I remember seeing the last, at least one of those after I joined. Ann Urbanski on Myths, Al Nettleton on the Benefits and Dangers of Information Technology, which we could definitely revisit now. Bill Robbins and Michelle Honor on Breaking the Cycle of Disadvantage. Diane Derwin on Ecofeminism. And Mary Mullen on Becoming a Welcoming Congregation. One Sunday in 92, there was a service trip to the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo. And in 1996, Madison Mayor at that time, and again, Paul Sagwin, spoke at Prairie. It seems we never stopped dreaming and planning about building improvements. And in 1987, we worked with an architect to develop plans to remodel this building and raised funds for it. And then in 1988, the meeting house was remodeled to include increased RE space, handicap access, and the upstairs kitchen. I hadn't known we hadn't had an upstairs kitchen. From August to December that year, 1988, during construction, we met in either Marlboro Park, Garner Park, or Madison General Hospital's McConnell Hall. So hearing some of this makes me think GR space is pretty good. Some annual events that are now Prairie traditions were started during this decade. Secret Friends, now known as Mystery Friends, got started in 1991. In 92, the religious education program started the seasonal overnights called Fall Frolic, Wild Wintering, and Spring Fling. We held our annual retreat at Upham Woods throughout this entire 10 years with one exception. We had our retreat at Bethel Horizons for the first time in 1992, and that's the place we now almost always hold our retreats. We also established the tradition of celebrating an anniversary every 25 years, and we are carrying that anniversary on to that tradition on today. We had our anniversary party for 25 years in 1993. We had some regular renters. Sunrise Nursery School rented the meeting house for a year in 1989 to 1990. And Sheree Shemayim, which is a Reconstructionist Jewish congregation, started sharing our space in 96. They stayed with us till 2008. They just got too big for our space and started renting from First Society. And also in this decade, in 1991, First Unitarian established a committee to explore starting a third UU congregation in Madison. And that led to the formation in 1993 of James Reeb. My summary would not be complete without mentioning our biggest conflict of that era. In 1988, and I'm glad I missed this one, there was a dispute over the role of women between a few of the men and some of the women in the congregation. Mediation was attempted to resolve the conflict. By 89, the conflict ended because the men involved left the congregation. And unfortunately, this is often how conflicts get resolved. For the rest of this decade, Prairie was fairly free of major conflicts. And I didn't go into what was going on in the world at this time. This was the Bush senior Clinton years, primarily.
Do you want to invite people to come to stand up?
Those who joined in this decade have an orange name tag. Would you please stand?
The decade from 1997 to 2007 was a dramatic one for the country and for Prairie. It started in the US with the Monica Lewinsky scandal, followed by the 2000 election of Bush v. Gore with hanging chads, and of course the attacks of September 11, 2001, the invasion of Afghanistan and later Iraq. In cultural news, Facebook was launched in 2004. And the same year, Massachusetts became the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. Here at Prairie, there were a couple of areas of drama. At the beginning of the time, we had Robin Carré as an RE director and then Randy Converse for several years. But starting in 2003, we had five RE directors within 3 years. All the turnover was a big challenge for the RE committee, teachers, students, and parents. And it seemed that we had people who turned out to have personal issues or moved out of state and just had a lot of turnover there. We took on our first part-time ministers in a long time in that decade with Jody Weldon in 2005 to 6, followed by Ralph Tuksinski. Presidents during this time were Barb Park, Nancy Schroffnagel, Aaron Bosch, Ken Skog, and Mike Briggs. Newsletter editors, Kate, is it pronounced Hyber or Heber Cobb? I don't know that name. Hyber Cobb. Ann Urbanski, Rick Recking, Marilyn Recking, Wendy Williams, and Dan Proud. In fact, Dan and I were between us the part-time administrators for several years. He did the newsletter, and that was during the time when all the newsletters were printed. You had to sort them by zip code, tie them up, and take them to the Milwaukee Street post office, which apparently is no longer even open.
Oh, no, it's there. It
doesn't do that. Shipping. And in that era, we submitted an ad to the local paper weekly, and we had our ads in the yellow pages. I generally did the order of service, and the printer in the basement was so slow and touchy that it became cheaper for me to just go to Office Depot and have it run off than for the church to pay for my time to practically hand feed every piece of paper into them. We finally started electronic distribution of the Prairie Fire in 2006. and also inaugurated a new website that Bob Park was the main administrator of. The biggest drama of this decade was the purchase of land in Fitchburg in 2005. A group of members found that the city of Fitchburg had land and they wanted a church built there. They felt it was a great opportunity for Prairie to expand. And they raised the money for the property by contacting individuals in the congregation, and they did go to the board. However, when it was time to vote on the building project, some members felt they had not had a chance for input and that the cost of a new building would be prohibitive. There was also a lot of discussion about what it meant to be a suburban versus urban church. Interestingly, at that time, several people assured us that there was no possible way this building could be expanded. The purchase went ahead on the understanding that if we didn't build in 3 years, we could sell the land back to the city. And without the commitment to build a building, unfortunately, some of these discussions became very heated and personal, both in person and over the internet. And people on both sides of the debate left the congregation, some for years and some forever. We did end up selling the land back, although apparently it was not quite as simple as we had thought. So this was a very difficult time for our congregation. We were fortunate that as this we moved into the next decade, we had a couple of calming influences. Ralph Tuksinski was a very calming presence and a professional therapist as our president. So everybody from that decade has the chartreuse or yellow green or light green tag. Could you stand?
So because I'm last, I will strive extra hard to stay within my 4 minutes. My name is Johanna Hatch, and my family joined Prairie in, we recently were reminded, 2013. Because of that, I missed half of this decade, so if I make any errors, please forgive me and feel free to correct me. The decade of 2007 to 2017, upon reflection in our country and our world, was a time of great opportunity and change, and I think also great tumult, especially in the past year or so. This is the decade that brought us our first African-American president with Barack Obama. We also saw the end of the Defense of Marriage Act, which led to many states and many court decisions creating a piecemeal legalization of gay marriage throughout the United States, and finally with the Supreme Court making it legal in all 50 states. At the same time, we were witness to the continued struggle for racial equality in our country with the much publicized killing of many young black men and black women by police officers, and the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, which I believe in part led to the backlash and the current movement backwards with the election of a president who has embraced white supremacy, and I think the rise of white supremacy becoming more socially acceptable. And so we had a great, I think, few years, and now we have a great challenge to face, and I'm glad to be part of a community that is committed to justice. During this time, there were three presidents. At the beginning of this decade, Rachel Long was president, followed by Barb Park, and then in 2014, Gary Gates. We had two directors of religious education. Rebecca Malky became the director of religious education in the 2007-2008 year, and was the DRE until 2014, when our current DRE, Holly Thielander, was hired. In reflecting on the history and a lot of the materials that were shared with me, one of the biggest, I think, challenges of this decade for Prairie was that decision about do we stay or do we go. At the beginning of this decade, in 2008, the Fitchburg land was sold. Prior to that, in April of 2007, Prairie did vote to suspend the planned construction of a new meeting house, but also with that same time voted to make a commitment to this space. The sale of the land ended up being profitable for Prairie. So that was something that I think helped move us forward with our commitment to stay in this area. In 2010 to 2011, Ralph Tuzinski's ministry at Prairie ended, and Jane Ebsenson took over as consulting minister. From what I read of her tenure here, she had a great eye for design and eye for the space. She purchased the chairs that are no longer here, but were the chairs that were here when I joined. So they had a good amount of service. But unfortunately, Jane had to follow her heart and left Prairie after only 7.5 months of ministry to be with her beloved in Sweden. But that did allow us to hire our current minister, Sandy Ingham. It was also during that year that Soup Sunday was initiated, which is, I think, a beloved Prairie tradition and one of the things that really helped us feel welcomed at this community on our first Sunday here. In November of 2011, November 2nd, was the culmination of much work for many years in which Prairie was fully accredited as a green sanctuary by the UUA. I believe part of that is our beautiful prairie that we have out front, which also during this 10 years, and I did not get the exact date, but we did lose Galen Smith, who was a pillar of our community, and that prairie is named in his memory now. So in the 2012 to 2013 year was when Sandy joined us as our consulting minister. It was also during this time that what is now our annex became available for sale. That building was originally the parish house for the church that was here. And so when it became available, it seemed like a great opportunity for us. Prairie did vote to purchase that land, but we did need to raise the funds for it. So they put Mary Mullen and Patty Stockdale in charge of leading the fundraising efforts, and they raised over $100,000 with the support of our community. It made it possible for us to purchase that land outright, so we don't have a mortgage that we had to pay monthly. So this purchase also really helped cement our commitment to this neighborhood. It was from the notes that I read, the part of the discussion was, we're only going to purchase this house if we commit to be here 10 years. So that stands as our commitment to being part of this community. The annex was dedicated, fully dedicated, and certified for occupancy in 2015. The first meeting was held there in July of 2015 and was dedicated on September 13th, 2015. Then also in 2013, I just have to mention my favorite Unitarian Universalist joke now. Our family joined Prairie at the very first service. Sandy declared that this was a church without creeds, and my husband, Evan, leaned over and whispered to me, "Do you think they're going to let us stay?" So thank you for letting us stay.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you are a church with three creeds, Evan, Liam, and Aurora. This was also the community that dedicated our daughter, who was born July 3rd, 2014, Aurora. She was dedicated here at Prairie November 30th, 2014. Our commitment to social justice was also deepened over this decade. In 2013, Prairie formalized its relationship with MOSES, which is part of the statewide Wisdom Network, which mobilizes faith communities to address Wisconsin's high incarceration rate, particularly among the African American community. This work continues to be a focus of our Social Action Committee, and our committee, the Social Action Committee and our church, continues to be committed to this cause. Christmas of 2016, the Social Action Committee took on two projects related to this, both collecting Christmas cards written for prisoners at the Dane County Jail and a collection of funds to purchase hats, gloves, and thermal wear for the prisoners at the Dane County Jail. Like I said, I apologize if I missed anything. I'm cognizant of the time, but let us say that here we are in 2017 celebrating our 50th year, and I feel so lucky to be a part of this community's history. I was grateful to take this opportunity to learn about the past challenges and joys and the commitment of this community, and I hope that we can use this as an opportunity to recommit ourselves to seeking justice, crushing oppression, celebrating the seasons and cycle of life, and of course, drinking coffee together. Oh, and everybody who has a beautiful yellow name tag who joined this decade, please stand up.
Thank you, all five of you, for that journey.
These are the closing words. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence. The bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Thank you for being here, and enjoy. Look to this day.